Hello,
Hello.
hello, hello. We're joined by Heidi today. I'm super excited for this one because it's been a while since we've just been speaking for like half an hour before this, but it's been a while since we spoke. So I'm really looking forward to just catching up. And you've had a completely different career change.
Yes, I have, Ash. It's been a complete career change. And yeah, we'll dig into that in a minute. I no one more shocked about this than I, to be fair.
I'm not very shocked. I think it makes complete sense. But so just for kind of context of this show today, just can you give people a bit of a background on you? Don't worry, we have to go into the whole thing because a lot of people will know you, and I know you've got your story, and we only got like 20 minutes. So, but could we give like a backstory into just who you are, and kind of because that will add context into what it is you're doing now.
Sure, so I'm just going to do like the rapid fire
Do your
version
rapid fire bang bang
of the
moment. And I'll
situation.
try and, yeah, because if you go too deep, it always makes me really sad and I start going to cry. So I don't
Oh,
want to
yeah,
do
I won't. I'll be really matter of fact about it. So,
that.
the main thing that everyone needs to know is that I'm a massive hard ass. That's really important to bear in
Yeah.
mind. In 2015, I was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer, which is a very, very rare, very aggressive form of breast cancer. I was also pregnant at the time with baby number three. I was told that if I had the treatment that I needed to save my life, that I couldn't be pregnant. So I decided to decline that treatment and carried on with the pregnancy. And then I had my little girl in December 2015, and she was very healthy. But sadly, as life is, because it's never poetic and it's never fair, she caught an infection in hospital and she died when she was 8 days old. I then found out that my cancer was terminal. It spread to my lungs and my skin and my blood vessels, and I had about a year to live. I also had two boys at home who were 1 and 2 years old at the time. And I know this sounds totally made up, but that was the plot of my
It's mad,
life.
isn't it?
Yeah, crazy. And I had a year in which to basically make every day count, which, by the way, people, is a complete waste of time and is exhausting. Flash forward to the end of 2016, everyone was on the edge of their seats waiting for me to suddenly go, and I didn't. I carried on with chemo, and it's 2023, and I'm definitely not dead. Never been more alive than I am now. I started a career as a motivational speaker because, for whatever reason, people wanted to listen to me rabbit on at them and swear a lot, which I'm trying not to do today.
I'm sure we
And
won't get through the show without you swearing at least once.
I'll try not to, but yeah, I mean, chances are, the air will be blue. I basically took on that job as a speaker and I thought, yeah, all right, if people want to pay me the money, I'll take it, just a rabbit at them. And before I knew it, I had a really good career, I suppose, in speaking. And it mostly came from the insurance sector. A lot of that probably because I was one of those idiots that only took life insurance and didn't have critical illness cover. And then I was living, breathing proof of why you're a stupid ass if you don't get insurance. So I got more and more clients from that area, and it, to help people to have difficult conversations. It's not easy to talk about cancer unless you've been in it. I can talk about it all day long because, in terms of cancer top trumps, nobody is beating me. I mean, my trauma is up there, so I can talk to people about anything, and no one can go, oh, because I'm like, excuse me, you're talking to a person with stage four terminal incurable cancer that has also had a child that has died. Like, there aren't many people that can top that, thankfully. But I'm extremely resilient. COVID hit. COVID was shit. And the speaker work kind of went, ugh, and I was going online and doing it. And it wasn't the same because I am great in person. And I'm still good online, but I'm definitely much better in person. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? So I need to pay the bills, et cetera. And yeah, thought, what am I going to do? I ended up working as an editor for a news desk, and the money was crap, but it was money. So it was coming in, and I was thinking, this is, I just had this feeling that that was not what I was meant to be doing. It's hard to explain. And then, but I panicked because I was going through a divorce because I like to make my life really complicated. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I reached out to a friend of mine that I've met through speaking who was in insurance. And I said, look, please, you're really good at being motivating. Can you talk me out of taking a job that's going to pay me £78 a day? And she was like, why don't you come and work for me as an advisor? for insurance. And I thought, I can't do that. I will be the shittest salesperson in the world ever. Because I'm just, that's just not me. She was like, it's not like that. And I'm not like that. And my firm is not like that. She said, and that's not what I want. I just would want you to be you. And I think you've got a good story. And I think you're the reason why, above and beyond it being a job that pays people's bills, it's actually something that's bloody vital that people have. And you're living proof of what not to do, which is exactly right. So I decided to take the leap and become an insurance advisor.
And that's with Carla on the, yeah. So that's that friend, isn't it? Is Carla.
Friend is Carla. And she's been an amazing mentor. And she's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I couldn't thank her enough for everything she's done for me, because I went into that job thinking, well, I'll give it a go and I'll probably be crap at it and I'll probably hate it. And she was like, just come on, just try. And actually, it's completely the opposite. Like, I love it. I mean, there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
And the learning curve is so steep. And, you know, going from, you know, I was used to be a police officer. So I am used to doing lots of paperwork, but this is completely different. And it's been a lot to learn, but it's been, you know, I've loved it. And actually, I love talking to people. I spend probably, my appointments probably last a lot longer than what other people's do, because we end up going, la, 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 la. What cancer have you got? What cancer have you got? And I've managed to cover so many people that have been declined insurance. And that is a real, I think, yes, I've done that. And I think that's because my sheer determination to be able to help people where they've been told no, because I don't like being told no, which is what probably why I'm not dead, to be fair. I don't like to be told no. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to help other people that are like me. As I also help lots of people that don't have cancer and are very healthy. And but that's important. You know, it's everybody should have the option.
And do you find that, because that's, I mean, your story is always amazing and I just love listening to it, and I've heard it so many times and I still never get old listening to it. It's such a cool, and it's, this is like the new add-on. There's like this extra thing with the insurance. So do you find that you enjoy that helping? Because like your niche, let me get the word out. Do you feel like with someone like you speaking about it has a different impact than, let's say, someone who is just a normal advisor, because there is something about your story is inspiring. Do you feel that that has speaks to people who potentially couldn't be reached normally?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, as you're saying that, it makes me try and think in what way we could apply that outside of the cancer world. And one of the main things is there's nothing worse than when you're a parent, having someone that's not a parent tell you how to parent.
Oh, it's very true.
You know, and that is really irritating. It's like,
when someone compares themselves. I know what it's like being a parent. I've got a dog.
Yeah, I've got a dog. Oh, I totally understand. No, you don't. You totally don't get it at all. So when I have my clients, they come on the phone and they're like, well, and it's not just cancer, it's any kind of challenging medical background. I feel people are never holding back on what they're telling me, because they're like, well, this woman's been through loads. Yeah. So I can tell her everything. And she can understand what it's like. And I do think that is a massive, massive, massive part of why I get the clients that I do. Because people don't necessarily want to disclose all their grotty bits and pieces to people they've never met, do they? But because I'm a massive oversharer, people think, oh, I can bloody talk to her about anything. It's the same with the speaking work, because after I've been on stage and I've talked, the amount of people that come up to me and they treat me like a priest. I want to talk to you about something that happened to me a couple of years ago. And they'll tell me all sorts of different things. And it's like a therapy session, you know. But I am massively proud of being able to give people the ability to be able to speak to me like that. And it's worked really well in the insurance world. There's nothing worse. Sorry, all the suited white middle-class males out there that are listening to us. But there's nothing worse than having someone come up to you and go, I'm going to talk to you about finance. And this is why you need insurance. And, you know, what would happen if you got like some situations with your breasts or something in the future? Oh, no one wants to listen to that. Who talks like that? Nobody talks like that. People want to talk to human beings.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think you're right. And I think also, like, I can completely agree with you on this, and it's not like a relatable, but it's relatable in some ways. It's like last year I was quite sick with something that was male related. So every time that like a female doctor came in, you're like, look, you don't really get this, even though you do get it. Like, you don't fully get it. And it's quite interesting because I can imagine that's exactly the same with like breast cancer. And is that like, I think that one thing I'm a big advocate of is this idea of being very self-aware. And the reason why I do well at what I do is because I've been in the scenarios that my clients have been in. I think it's very hard for people to like you say, empathize. You can empathize, but it's really hard to like relate. I think you're such a unique story because it's so extreme that you're like, you also kind of provide hope, I think, at the end of it. You know, there's someone with this idea of like, whatever is thrown at me. And it does, what your story in general, like when I was sick, silly as it sounds, your story is one of the stories that played in my head every single day. Like, and I think that's why I think something you give is, that was one of the things in my head. It was like, no matter how bad this gets, like, it's never going to be a shit as Heidi situation.
Exactly.
But I mean, and what I mean is, it's never going to be as bad as that.
Yeah.
And she's like the way she is. I always think about the Magic Mike story with yours. And that's all that goes through my head is that, like, you find humor in things. And I think that I can imagine, I can only, and we spoke about this off air, I can only imagine how many people need that at the point of purchase of insurance, which is such a taboo topic. You know, people don't want to talk about it, because I think the hard thing with insurance is, and I was saying this to somebody a couple of days ago, is like, insurance is probably the hardest. Pensions and insurance are the two hardest things to sell. Mortgage, pretty easy. The reason being is that I want a house. Normally you're going to get a bigger house, so I'm getting something for it. The problem with pensions is it's delayed. So it's like, I'm going to pay that. And if I'm lucky, I might live till the point where I actually get it.
Yeah.
So that's that. But I think insurance is the hardest of those, which is, I'm going to now talk to you about this thing that you really don't even want to acknowledge that it ever happens. And I want you to pay money to something every single month to something that I don't even want to think about. You know, this is a weird thing. So I think having someone like you is quite a powerful image.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of my appointments are like counselling sessions in lots of ways. And obviously I get a lot of females with breast cancer, but like I say, I get people from all sorts of backgrounds. When I get a healthy non-medical disclosure client, I'm like, what? Are you sure there's nothing wrong with you?
Did you fall in the, how did you land on my profile?
How are you here? And like, this is unusual for me because everybody's got like, oh, and I've got this and I've got that. And I'm very meticulous with my medical disclosures. I do think it is unique, and unfortunately I'm in the position not just to talk about cancer, also child loss, which is a really difficult thing to talk to about clients, you know, is sick children
and child death, isn't it? Is those
it's really awful, hard.
I mean, it's hardest thing. I think it's harder than like, I know that that's now as a parent.
Cancer's like piece of piss, mate.
But as a parent now, like that that's so weird as well, because when I first met you, I wasn't, my wife was pregnant, and it's funny how that changes. You know, you say there's nothing worse than like I was watching a film literally like 2 days ago, and it was called Instant Family with it was about this guy doing like a fostering something. Me and my wife watching, next thing you know, I'm like, bloody hell, this is like, I'd seen it like 2018 or 2019, and I was like, that's a funny Mark Wahlberg film. Then after having a kid, it was like a holy fucking different thing. And I was like, oh my God, this is mad. Like and it made me uncomfortable. I had to turn things off, you know, like watching something that's like sick kids. And I'm like, I can't, I just can't. Like it's just a fundamentally hard. And I think that those are the conversations that need to be had, but they're just, most people either don't have kids, so they're not advising on it, or they don't want to talk about it. And I think, that again, you're so unique in that situation because you're so open about it. Most people won't talk.
Yeah, and it's hard because people think, well, it's a weird way because you'll think, well, I wouldn't give a shit about money because I'd be thinking fully about my child. Money's irrelevant.
If it's not.
And in a way it is, but then it's not, because then if you're in the situation where like, okay, well, my child's ill, but also how the hell am I going to pay the bills? I've got to go to work and be at work to get paid while my kid is in hospital, you know, like I absolutely horrendous, because of course you're just going to walk out the front door. Then your bills aren't going to get paid. When your child gets well, is ready to come home, where's home?
Yeah.
You know, if you've defaulted on your mortgage, or you, you know, or no one's heating their homes, or people can't eat and that kind of thing. You know, there's, and I think we all live in this world of, oh, the money comes from somewhere, but it doesn't. Like, yeah. I've stage four terminal bloody cancer. How much money do you think the government have given me for that?
Nothing. I remember you because you're saying that because they don't deem you sick enough.
I'm not sick enough because I've had sheer determination. And literally, Ash, it's because I can wipe my own ass and walk more than 100 metres, I don't get anything.
Yeah.
And in a way, you're like, well, I'm grateful I'm not in that bracket. But at the same time, you're like, Jesus Christ, you know, like, I'm self-employed. There's no statutory sick pay. Like, I mean,
there's no protection for you. Yeah, no, there's no, there isn't. And I think, you know, you said something really important there, which is, like, all of it is important. But one thing I want to point, you said, you know, in some ways, people think the money doesn't matter when your child is sick or when you're sick. But you know what's so funny? And I say this to Carla. Carla obviously did my insurance. The weirdest thing. So my health scare, it turned out it was like a year long and it was absolutely fine. Well, it's not fine, but it was okay. But what was so, Carla did all my insurance. Do you know, it was the weirdest feeling when I first got the kind of, it's a cancer scare thing. It was like, well, it's okay because that sort, like, it was just one thing off the mind. It was so, yeah. I said to Carla, I said, it meant so much. It was such a weird feeling of like, because money does matter. Because all that went through my head was like, okay, so if I died, then that can go there. If that happened, that can go there. If that, like, it was not, I can't imagine. And you've been in that situation of like, that allowed me to just focus on, okay, I just got to get better, as opposed to being like, what do I do if I don't? And that was just a scare. Like, it was a long scare, but it was a scare that went well in the end. But it was this idea of like, holy shit, this is real stuff. This is not like, it's not just stuff that happens to people we know or people. It's real, and money really matters, because if not, you know, like, everything, the life you've just spent time to build with your family just comes crumbling down very, very quickly.
Yeah, and the psychological fallout from that when you get better is unreal. Because your health's back, but you look around and you're like, right, well, I'm not where I was before cancer. So cancer's not just taking your health, it's taking your entire lifestyle away from you if you're not protecting it. And that's terrifying. You know, like, I'm going through a divorce now, so I'm now a single parent, and this house around me now, because I don't have critical illness cover, probably gonna have to sell it. And that's devastating. You know, that's my kid's home, but we're going to have to leave it because I didn't have critical illness cover. I'd had that, this would have been paid off and wouldn't have been an issue for me, you know? And yes, I mean, fundamentally, woohoo, it's brilliant. I'm here. It's great. You know, you lot would be lost without me, but it's that I'm lucky I can work. There's not many people in my position, A, that have lived as long as I have, and B, that are able to work. I am a really unusual case.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't afford to be ill. I had strep A before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I could barely breathe, and I was still taking appointments from clients because, well, the bills have got to get paid, you know. It's got to happen. There's nothing there for me. I can't get income protection now. I can't get critical illness cover now. Luckily, I've got decreasing term insurance for my mortgage, which I took out years ago. But the conversation at the time was never had adequately about critical illness cover. And, you know, partly my fault, absolutely. But what I've learned as an advisor is that will never be one of my clients. They will constantly be getting calls going, have your circumstances changed? Where's the gap in your insurance? What can we do differently?
You can also call them on it. You know, that's the thing that I think is really, as in, like, call them out on that kind of bullshit. Because I think the hardest bit, and this isn't anything, as we said about, it's all about relatability. You've said it so many times in this, but it does all boil down to that. The reason why I can do the job I do is if someone tells me, well, that doesn't work the way I'm saying, well, that's bollocks. It does, because I've done it. I've been advised. I did this. I know. And so when you're saying you can't do it because you are too busy, it's because you couldn't be asked or because you're scared. I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think very few people in the insurance industry, not very few, because there are people out there, but like, what puts you in a such unique space, as you say, is that you're willing to have that conversation. Because one, you've done it. Once you've had that experience, but two, that combination of kind of ballsiness that you have, that is just kind of like, I'm just going to say it as it is, which is very rare, just in that personality trait alone, means that you are the type of person that if someone said, well, you know, this will happen or that won't happen, or you can be like, bang, no. And the way you are, is, you know, that that helps. That really does. It's such a unique combination. I'm very excited. And how have you found it on that? We'll wrap the show up in a minute, but like, it's more about how have you found you're in it. You've seen like a lot of uptake from clients for what I've been saying. You've seen like, you, how's that been going?
I am absolutely inundated with clients, and that's an amazing feeling, but I am still very new to this, and I have to be, I can only take on so much work at a time. Yes. And I mean, that's been amazing to have that response, but you know, it's stressful. Yeah, it is stressful, because I want to help as many people as I can, but I can't keep every time I post something on social media, it's like.
And what's really funny, I want to point that out, because if you hear your point on the, hear your take on this, but like I've worked with many people who are like you, not like who have that response. Not many people, but I've got clients who I've worked long to, like Carla, where she's in that similar space where it's like all the time. And it's funny because most people were watching this, insurance advisors, mortgage advisors, and they're going to be like, oh, poor you. I wish I was in that situation. But it's a very hard situation to be in when you don't what I'm trying to say is they don't understand. Like, you can articulate it better, but it's sometimes there's a part of you that's like, I just wish there was nobody right now. And it would just be like one client a week or two. It's that kind of, you know, that thing of more money, more problems. It's just a different problem completely. It's not like all your dreams are at the end of a load of clients messaging you, because it's really not.
No, my work-life balance is definitely skewed since I've been an advisor.
But that's hard, especially if you're I find that you might be the same. It's like you wanted, you know, you said, I need the money. I've got to get the bills to pay. And all of a sudden, all these people, it's potential opportunities. And that's really hard when I find for myself, it must be for you.
I emotionally overinvest in my clients as well. Yeah. Thing I probably spend, if I went and sat down with somebody else who'd been in this game a lot longer than me, and we compared notes on how long we spend on our clients, I would imagine I am
you.
Way so beyond what I need to be.
So you will learn. And the reason I'll say that is, so like, we're on this show, and she's obviously not here right now, but she will be. So the reason I am massively over emotionally invested in Carla, and that's our thing. We joke about it all the time. I say to Carla, I was like, I learned what not to do with you, because we two of us got too involved, invested in it. So it's like, where you, and I remember saying this to her, and I said to other people, because she was one of my first clients, and you're at the beginning though, where you're at, that's right, because you can always pull back, but you're giving the best service you possibly can, and then you pull back and go, okay, that's maybe not needed, that isn't needed. Like my clients I work with now, they're not like, I do not spend anywhere near as much time as I do with Carla, because I just wouldn't literally breathe. I'd have no time left. But I don't regret a second of it, because you get those, you've learned, you'll be a better advisor, and you are a better advisor by being that, but you'll learn as time goes on. That's what I found anyway. And I know Carla does the same. That's what she had to do when we had to fight, not fight. What I mean is we had to fight this idea of moving to the type form. And that was this idea of like, how do you, you know, I want to speak to every client and everybody. And it's like, well, you can't if you want to scale. And that's but I think it's better to go all in and reduce, as opposed to just do the bare minimum and just increase.
Yeah. It's just so hard, isn't it? And there's
hard.
I mean, the things that I might forget this or forget that. And the thing is with me, I've got notes you can't see them, but they're all over my notice board of notes of things that I need to do that then just pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up. And
better organization system.
I do. And Carla's really helped me with that. She makes me sit down on a Sunday night and literally every 30 minutes of what I'm doing the following day. Yeah. Since I've been doing that, that's really helped me. But it also made me realize I cannot manage the amount of clients that I have. Because I don't want to do a half-assed job on anybody either. That's the thing, you know, like, it's really important to me to get it completely right. And, I spend hours and I get all of them, there's lots of emotion and stuff. Not all of them are like that. Some people are like, oh, I just want to try, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but generally people, I sometimes do get the impression some people want appointments just because they want to talk to me, and the insurance is a secondary to the rest of it.
I think that's bad. That's a good thing. I like that.
I think so. And I think having that personalization with somebody is massive. Like, you know, I don't know. I can only base it on the person that I had advised me before, and what a completely different relationship. It's not to say that he wasn't good, and I'm sure he was. I never had any follow-ups. I took that cover out when I was 22 and didn't give a shit about anything but getting pissed and stuff. But then later on down that line, I had two kids and a bigger mortgage, and you know, lots of things had changed, and I'd grown up, and I could see probably more value in something if somebody had put it to me. But that phone call never happened, and you know, for me, that's really important. If I've got someone that's got stage 4 cancer, and I put them on with a certain provider that will non-medically underwrite them, etc., and I think, okay, well, you know, even with that, I'll make a note to call them back in a couple of years and see how they're getting on. If it's someone with lower level cancer, like stage 1, and it's recent and I can't get them cover somewhere, then I'll be like, look, we go through a period of time where actually your chances of getting more conventional insurance are going to improve in that time. And I will make a note, you know, I put the onus on them that, you know, you need to review this. But if I'm still around, which I intend to be, I will make a note to call you. But if not, you need to advocate for yourself, and in 2 years you start the ball rolling again, kind of thing, because that's the most thing. And yes, it's great to get paid for doing this, but the ultimate thing for me is to be able to make sure that no one ends up like the asshole that I was, basically.
That's the biggest motivator. I love it so much. I think what you're doing is so good. I think it's a perfect fit, and I think the industry is a better place for having you in it, truthfully. I think you really do.
It's really good.
Really do. Yeah, I hit you there. You're like, oh gosh. any parting words before we end the show?
If you're looking for a motivational speaker to help,
here we go. Little plug.
Oh, you've got a plug. I'm really good at motivating people. I'm really good at highlighting why insurance is so bloody important. But also, if you're watching this as somebody that doesn't have insurance and isn't from the insurance sector, please get in touch with me for a no nonsense, no bullshit, no jargon chat about anything, and I'll make sure I get your cover sorted for you.
I love it. Thank you very much.
No worries.